That's interesting. Thank you very much and welcome to this evening. I'll start with our opening statement is that council acknowledges that we meet on the traditional lands and waters of the Karamangan Kangana people. They are custodians of this ancient and beautiful land, and so we pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. We will care for this country together by ensuring the decisions we make will be guided by the principle that we should never decrease our stewardship to live on this land. Now we have, I thought we had a fourth house, I can't see Councillor Mott.
He's always the best with me.
We know that we have in the end of, we thought we had in the end of.
Defending the nation, Madam Mayor.
Does anyone have some dates for that?
It was for a week from memory, Madam Mayor.
Yeah, I thought it was October, though we checked it a bit earlier. So we got Councillor Mott, she's on a leave of absence, so we'll, but that's already been voted in. Is that the people's recollection?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, so we'll start with that here, the voting in. So we just have one person on leave of absence, that's Councillor Mott. All right, thank you. And nobody else has asked them. All right, item four, everyone, on our agenda tonight is minutes of the previous meeting. We have three lots of minutes. We've got a big problem, can you pass it?
On the screen, can you kiss my address?
What is the label that's in there?
No, it's.
No, she's requesting.
Ah, there's a request, sorry, that's not in my, it's not in my notes here. I beg your pardon, let's just go back one. So item 3.2, there's a leave of absence request by Councillor Kirsten Parkin from 8 December to 15 December. All right, so could I get a mover for that, please? Thank you, Councillor Gill, and we'll start with Councillor Helen's second vote. All right, all those in favour, please. All right, thank you for that, carried unanimously. Thank you, sorry, Councillor Parkin, not on my paper list here. All right, so let's keep moving forward. Back to item four, minutes of our previous meetings, and we've got three council meetings now. I can do the four of one, yeah, in a block. Does anyone have any comments on any of the minutes that was applied to the meeting, any meeting, and then fine. All right, if not, I'm going to ask them if they'd like to move to accept the minutes of the previous meeting, being Tuesday 24 October 23, the special meeting of 31 October 23, and the special meeting of 6 November 23. Nothing for a move. Thank you, Martin. And the second, thank you, that's got that stuff. All those in favour, please. Thank you very much. Thank you. Does anyone have a declaration of conflict of interest? Thank you. I'll vote for the council. I think it's due first, followed by Councillor Pasquale, followed by Councillor Bill, followed by Councillor Hart. So we'll start with Councillor Hart. And over here, I've got Councillor Herman. We'll start over here. Thank you. Councillor
Hart. I would just like to declare a general conflict of interest for Article 12.4, the East West Independent Care Appointment. I am Councillor's representative on the East West.
That's right, you don't need to give us the full exercise till we get there, but just the numbering in and we've got the time conflict. Thank you very much. Thank you. Councillor Pasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. 12.3 Valerie came to me as I remember.
Sorry, that's 12.3.
Yes, 12.3.
Okay. Next one down, Councillor Bill.
Thank you. Yes, I have a general conflict of interest at item 12.1, and I am to nominate for the Audit Committee.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. 12.3, decision two, in respect to the appointment of the presiding member of the Boundary Change Committee, material conflict of interest.
I have a material conflict of interest in item 12.1, the Audit Committee. Will be standing for the decision of the deciding member.
That's right. Thank you for clearing before we get to the item. Thank you. So thank you, Reverend Ron, for the explanation. Sorry, that's fast.
I'm sorry, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. So item six on our agenda, opening up remarks from myself. What I wanted to say, first of all, many of us attended the RSL and other remembrance ceremonies around the district last Saturday, and I thank everyone here and everyone in the community who attended. I was here at Stirling, and that was, as usual, a lovely affair. There was a sadness, though, on the following day on that evening. There was a lot of vandalism that happened at that point, which is really disappointing. But council themselves are actually working with the RSL on the supporting and modern movement in order to do that. It was, that aside, it was a lovely ceremony.
Sorry, Madam, what was vandalised?
So the wreaths were taken and they were found later on at another place, but I think on the back of the library. And the crosses that were put out at the front, some of those, I believe, have been damaged and moved and thrown around. I have to just want to let everyone know that it's announced today from one of our directors that one of our long-term staff, Mel Pryor, will be leaving us. Mel's done an amazing job. And I do want to publicly thank her because on occasion she has to step up for quite some time in higher roles, as well as doing an incredible amount. And there was a long list, wasn't there, director about all the other things that she's done. So she's really helped with our economic development. It was a new area for us when she came on, and she's absolutely moved it forward. So she's going to Murray Bridge, where she's going to take on a role there, which is really exciting. So I'm very excited for her, but very sad for us that we're losing her. Now I have one other, that's all about it. Now we have happy news, and that is that someone who's not leaving, who's been around for 25 years already, and this would be for us to stop.
Oh, thank you, Madam Mayor.
We're going to present you with your award, which is recognition. And so I'll just let everyone know, this is for 25 years of service to local government. It's for Councillor of the Stock, and the Local Government Association likes to always produce a certificate of service. So I'm going to recognise your service and hand it to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, well done. Thank you. You're welcome.
Just briefly, thank you very much, Madam Mayor, for the certificate of service on behalf of the LGA. I'd just like to thank this council, my colleagues, for your friendship and your collaborative the collaborative working relationship we have as a collective here in here at Adelaide Hills Council. As you know, I've served in two other councils, Burnside and Tea Tree Gully, and this council by far is my most enjoyable time as an elected member in local government. So I thank you for that, and once again, I thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you for the service. Congratulations. Thank you for joining us. Leaving the others. Thank you. Can we move on to item 7, which is questions to chair. We don't have any questions for the chair, and we don't have any questions on the table. Item 8, we don't have any petitions, we don't have any deputations, we do have a public forum. Is there anyone who's in our gallery who wishes to speak in the public forum? The public forum, we set aside 5 minutes for that as well. So if you've got enough preempt, but not ruin the day for the other two guys, if you would like to say anything in support or the assembly, you're very welcome. Or on any other topic. Okay, you can. There you go. All the trust they have in you, that's good. All right, thank you. So what we will do then, go on to the presentation. The presentation tonight, members, is about the Stirling Oval Pavilion. And we have with us the committees, and we've got, as I said, Simon Jones and also Rebecca McMurrin. And so they are going to present to us. You have 15 minutes, and then we'll reserve another 5 minutes for questions if you're happy to take them. I will say, just for the clarification for members, that this is a presentation by the committee to us tonight, and the other considerations, we will be having a workshop coming to us in a week or two's time, and then at our next meeting we will subsequently have a report that follows this up with regard to the development, not the application, which is camp, it's just some rear area of development. So please come forward, Simon. You need to press the button on the button, and I'll knock mine off so that.
Councillors, good evening. My name is the executive. Very happy to be here presenting to you this evening. This is really our first chance to formally address our intentions into the Legals Council. So we're very happy to take the opportunity. I'll fill you in on just a tiny bit of history. I've left the pamphlets around for the councillors to look at. But essentially, this all began a long, long time ago, back in the early 1930s, when the local hotel owners left what is now the Oval, but was then just a small valley to the community, on the understanding that it would be turned into an Oval and kept in perpetuity for the entertainment and sporting activities of the community. We all set to with a will, and I say we, I'm talking about obviously the community of the time, and dug out the sides of the Oval and filled in the centre. We got as far as putting in the steps, and that's pretty much when the money ran out. That was in 1936, so that was all finished just in time for the centenary. And the community immediately started raising funds to be able to build a pavilion at the top of the steps. Unfortunately, World War II intervened, and after World War II, the community started looking at Heathfield. There was a lot of government interest in putting better facilities out there with high school, and all of the sporting activities pretty much moved out of Stirling and out of Heathfield. And Heathfield and Stirling Oval was left pretty much as you see it today. The committee that was running the sports there managed to get enough money together to put in new change rooms, which very necessary at the time, and that is as far as everything went. So there were a lot of other proposals, including a children's playground, tennis courts, basketball court even. There are lots of ideas, but it all pretty much went out here. So now we're bringing it back. I pass you over to Rosanna, who will tell you about what we intend to do.
Sure. Whoever's in charge of the PowerPoint, probably went up the next slide. Maybe it's a little So this shows a couple of the plans that we found at the Historical Society, which show what's a fairly basic pavilion, the grandstand, really. And that's what never got off the ground due to depression and war. And so that's, as everyone's very familiar with the site, obviously that's what we currently have with our challenge room, bed structure, and public toilet. And I think the public toilets are about due for leaking right on the lines of what's been happening with all that and which water, but that probably would be one to happen, but happily that can be incorporated into our proposal. And I'll be leaving this plan here so everyone has the opportunity to go and a good look at them. But Simon and Peter Fry, who was chairman of the cricket club, he's not delayed. Peter and Simon approached me going on the 3 years to say, let's work towards developing something here, because I think a lot of people who have been at the Oval have seen the grand steps and thought, it's the grand steps to nowhere. Why is nothing at the top of these steps? And it wasn't until we started the process and find the historical documents that we realised there was something at the top of the steps. And our vision is to provide the facility that the community needs and also make it beautiful, make it fit the feeling of Stirling, using some stone elements and traditional design, which you can see from the elevations. We don't think something very modern would be appropriate on that site, particularly in close proximity to the hotel. So we just felt that was the type of thing we wanted to do with the best feeling. And what it will provide is firstly upgrading the change facilities, because they're not up to standard at the moment.
with toilets, with showers and an umpire's room, and then the building itself will provide all this for function spaces for the kitchen, toilets and boardroom facilities, and an undercover outdoor area, which pretty much takes the place of the outdoor area, where people can sit and watch the board from either inside or outside the building. And we also have ended up with a landscaping proposal, because we think we're trimming as other plants along the bank are very much at the end of their useful life. Very painful for prickles when they're installed in there, and we think it'll be much better as bleachers, so people can really wash thought and not spreading through bleachers to fine ball. And it will just enhance the whole precinct. And my vision is to continue all around the other side of the old as well, with doing some nice landscaping. It's a very effective bank moment, as we all know. So it'd be lovely to continue that vision, maybe in the new stone wall around here, the garden, and really improve the entirety of the precinct. So that, we've had a screen actually. There was a rendering of the scope of the plant. Hello, but it was a pointer. Anyway, it's pretty clean. Upgraded and room and pavilion, and the most important part is the roof. That the viewing window at the front is dead centre on those steps, so it really, really relates to the original steps. Really, as well. And the artist's impression, which is over there, so we can read that later to get a good impression. And that's just our committee, who are all represented here tonight. So we've been working on this now for about 3 years, and it actually has gone and improved. That's another matter, which you guys will discuss later. But we just wanted to present this to you all tonight to give you a full understanding of what we are proposing.
All right, thank you. Funny you should mention it. Now we've got some questions here. Well, Councillor Pascoe, I'm only qualifying Councillor Herman and then Councillor Grant. Thank you, Councillor Pascoe.
Thank you, and through you, Mayor, and thank you for that presentation. It does look very beautiful. What capacity are you assuming from the leadership in the pavilion? What kind of numbers are you expecting to be able to get? And I think follow-up question to that.
Literally depends how far we extend them, but I'm thinking that there would be you could fit quite a few hundred on the bleachers, and we're thinking a seated capacity of about 100 to 125.
And with your future visioning of the use of the pavilion in that space, would it just purely be for community events and thought about? And I'm not saying this is it, but you know, things like gather around and things like those kinds of events, is that something that you would have on your radar?
Absolutely, yes. We have the project is maybe to run short period hours, if I can do that.
Right.
That we prepare to use the shop, which we think probably covers up on most things that we would anticipate that would be used from.
So without going through everything, obviously all of the different sporting activity, a lot of juniors and a lot of women's sport, I think the main focus from a sporting perspective, but then you've got a lot of local, other local events, Sterling Business Association within the pavilion, probably on-site community cafe, local school sports events, local school graduations, business product launches, possibly even the possibility of weddings, obviously at a suitable time, club rallies, art exhibitions, tour down under, Adelaide Fringe, community groups, flowers, yoga, antique roadshow, conferences, meetings.
Council meetings.
I didn't even mention anything about the Sterling version of Fuck's dog show.
That'd be cool.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Councillor Herman.
My question was about the cost of the paper. Do you have an estimate of what it might cost? No, I have a couple of other questions.
I think we'd have to assume it would be around the 2 million mark to get everything done, but we won't know, obviously, until we get some cost in the room.
And would the project be able to affect the Commonwealth and state grants under one of their many programs? You believe
yeah, that's what
we're going to fight for. And you look at the council's mandated to perhaps chip in a dollar or two?
Well, actually, and I think this is an important point because obviously I do understand the working with the council, and I won't say we'd like to minimise council's input, but we really see council's input as the money that council would have already spent to upgrade the toilets. So we see council as putting in an equivalent amount that we would use as part of that. But this is really about the community going back to what we did in 1936, and that is raising all the funds ourselves. The council didn't put any money into it back then, or very important way. And we're not, this is not about us going to council with our hands out and saying, how much have we got? Because we're a rich and educated community, and we all within the committee consider that we can raise the funds. So we're hoping to raise dollar for dollar. We think we can raise the first million, then we're going to go out to the state and federal and raise the other.
Thank you. Just a quick one. What is the tie with Joan A.G. Johnson? I know them more so as OPEC.
Yes, they used to own the Southern Hotel, which was then called the Hard.
Oh, they owned that.
Yes.
Yeah. And just in your brochure, with a view of a 2024 completion date, the eternal optimist.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
on you. Have to set it back. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lars. I think Councillor Grant, I think that's yours.
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. And thank you for the presentation. A couple of questions. So, who exactly is the Sterling Billion Foundation? Okay, and you make claims to represent the community. Do you, on what basis do you have? I mean, this isn't a criticism, but what makes you the representative body for the AO, I guess is the question.
Very good point. And I think Peter would be our main community representative of a residence, and we've been here representing business.
Because there'd be many users of it, I guess.
Absolutely.
And what's the legal structure of the foundation? Do you have membership? Are you incorporated?
We're an incorporated foundation.
Yes.
So we don't have a membership.
Okay. And so you're yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much, Simon Jones and Rosanna Harm. Thank you for that very much. And we look forward to hearing more about the project. Thank you for providing the pictures around the side that we can have a look at and the information that we left us. Thank you.
Thank
you, everyone. All right, everyone. And so I'll just say, I'll say to the gallery, you're more than welcome to sit in and listen to the rest of the items, but we won't feel offended if you... we've had enough and did some time you wish to go. So we won't take that
person. I'm sure we'll miss out.
Oh, actually, I might be taking that fifth person,
mate.
Thank you very much. See you again. All right, everyone, we don't have any questions on notice. We do have now the question on pyrotechnic fireworks 11.1. This motion has been pulled for this evening, so we're going to go straight on to 11.2. Thank you. And this one is from Councillor Cheever. You just got this down this direction. No, sorry, drop it down the other way, just so people see what the title was in. So this is an integrated strategy for electric vehicles. So I'm going to hand over to Councillor Keeler to speak to his motion. See if he has...
Thank you. I've just noticed that Spelling Mistake stands out a lot more on a big projector. yeah, so... in introducing this motion, it's a I think in addition to what's an ongoing process for council and looking at things like our carbon management plan that's upcoming, our strategic plan, as well as some already movements that were going on in the EV space. I think this, some of my learnings in my 12 months now of being on council is sometimes that the excitement and enthusiasm to pull triggers on things, to make things happen, it can sometimes be worth taking a step back and seeing where they have other implications across the organisation. I think as time went by, as well as support from the administration, I've certainly discovered that we have a lot of connectivity across a lot of areas, including a financial, which I think is a really important thing for us to consider with some of these bigger projects and bigger transitions in that space, that they are fiscally responsible. So I will acknowledge there's a lot of work already been going on from the administration. This isn't undermining any of that or trying to steer the direction, but just expand and let's take pause in our considerations on what we do in the EV space to not make it a tokenistic effort, but something that does have some long-term value for the environment, for our financial sustainability community, as well as our image and brand of Adelaide Hills Council, which I think through the strategic planning conversations, we do have some aspirations that sort of set a benchmark on our contributions to sustainable corporate practices, of which this is one.
All right, let's see if we've got enough of the press for a second. I can't pass the parking. We had a customer used for me.
No, I haven't seen.
All right, do you want to speak to the item?
I think that it's a really good initiative, and that I like the fact that we are starting with an analysis and a strategy, which gives us time to really think about it, to consider it, to have it brought to council. It's something we've been talking about for a really long time. And I'm grateful to Councillor Figure for following up. And I know that he spent some time working through this. I think it's a great thing for us to look at. And I commend motion. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Is anybody wanting to debate the item or have questions? Councillor Pascal and then Councillor Murray.
Thank you. I actually have a question concerning the vehicles that we currently have on border. I know we've got an analysis here, but I just wanted to know if the 9 vehicles that we've got on order that are yet to come, what are they? What brand of vehicle are they? And what was the reasoning for choosing them?
Now, CL, the fact that we want to
pick them up. Yeah, if I could through the chair. Yeah. And I'll be careful here because Chris Jansen's obviously our fleet person, but we have 2 vehicles that are already on site. One obviously a Tesla, one a Kona. Now we have a further 12 on order, 3 Teslas and 9 Neros on order. Now the objective around getting them was to try and get we did the analysis, the NPV analysis before we sort of locked in the orders to make sure that it was both financially responsible and environmentally responsible before we did it. And then we've tried to get a mix of vehicles because it's a rapidly changing market. So we're trying to get fit for purpose, but also not leave ourselves fully exposed in down one path. So we're trying to get a dynamic that meets both needs. And then we can reassess each year as we get further into it to see what the market's doing. So the goal is not to order any more than that now. There's still some distance off arriving, so there's quite a long lead time, and we'll be progressed well into the rest of this analysis between the integration of solar, battery and charging by the time we need to make the next decision on acquisition.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did you want to debate the item? Okay, so I'll move to Councillor Hunter.
Just a question on it. Councillor said we didn't have a reporting date on the development of the strategy. Did you have something in mind?
Probably not.
I don't like to see open-ended motions.
I'm going to ask Harry for some advice. If I could, through the chair, I think the goal here was to make sure that this was considered at the same time as council's carbon management plan. And we're obviously reviewing that at the same time with this will be either an input into that or an outcome from it. But we're trying to keep it in parallel with that. So Sharon Leaf's been doing some work, a lot of work in supporting this. But resolution number three is that it be presented to workshop of council concurrently with that carbon management plan. And there's a review coming up of that now, which will set the dates for it. And then this will tie in with that. That's the intent.
Is that so far away?
Do you just want to put in during 2024? No.
Oh,
is that what you're looking for?
A question.
I think midpoint three covers it. There'll be a date set for that. Yeah.
Well, as long as you're comfortable with that, because you raised the date. And there
yeah, is that's my preference. Dates and it gives the administration a target to your report.
If I could just clarify through the chair, the intent. There is a workshop that's to be scheduled shortly around the carbon management plan. So until that was held, I was keen not to actually lock in a date that might be out of trickle with that.
All right, I think that explains it. Thank you very much, Mr. Campbell. Thank you. So that's the two questions. Anybody got a question or anyone want to debate your line? Thank you. Councillor Huntsford, then Councillor Graham.
I've got a question.
Sure.
Okay. And I'm hesitant to ask it, but I'm going to anyway. Is anyone concerned about the public perception of council vehicles, fleet vehicles?
And I'm really happy to answer that question.
All right, thank you, Mr. Craig.
I think the intent here has been to do the analysis to affirm and confirm that they are an appropriate vehicle. The costs here are very comparative. The environmental benefit is better than the other vehicles that we have in place. So certainly, whilst we go through certainly the honeymoon period of no FBT on electric vehicles, they are cheaper than a RAV4 for us to own. So it's sort of really, it's been, I think with public perception 2 years ago, I would expect would be significantly different to public perception now. There are a raft of Tesla vehicles within the Hills community as it is. But it's certainly something that we did consider before we made the recommendation, but also about making sure that we weren't buying a bulk of that particular place. It was about having some balance in there.
Oh, thank you. I think I had Councillor Grant first, and I'll come back to Councillor Grant.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you to Councillor Cheetah for this motion. Clearly, a good deal of thought's gone into it, and it's extremely well thought out and detailed motion. And thanks to staff who wrote the report, particularly Appendix 1, I think it's really well worth reading. Copy and paste it and put it in a folder because it's just such a good cost benefit analysis of the alternative. And what we need is evidence based decision making when we're choosing the fleet. And Councillor Huxter's point is a good one. What's the community perception? And we should be aware of that. But I think with a good cost benefit analysis, we can argue the case. And the financials, which I think is really the underlying thing here. Obviously carbon reduction is important. But if the electric vehicles stand and test a good business case, well, why not? And if we have to argue to the public that these are, whatever vehicles we choose are inherently worthwhile, certainly on that.
So, Councillor Grant, do you want to have a question in there?
The question is, would Mr. Crackett agree with that?
If I could, through the chair, in response to the question, which I'll consider relates to the quality of the NPV analysis, I would suggest yes. I'm very happy with the quality of the NPV analysis.
All right, thank you, everyone. I'm going to move now over to Councillor Pascali.
Thank you, through you, Mayor.
It's hard to follow.
I think it's been very too much longer. I feel I am an educated woman, but I feel like I'm asking a very stupid question. Is the perception that it's a luxury vehicle, is this what we're questioning, or is it Elon Musk
I'm not sure what we thought that was.
Thank you.
And I think what was coming out before was that actually it's much less of a luxury vehicle, and when you actually do the numbers, you can see it's quite comparable to other ones in similar class.
In order to clarify the elephant in the room, how much are the Teslas costing each?
So if I can just very quickly go to the
46,
page 46 of the report. There's a table there that highlights the purchase price of a Tesla is $61,900 with a net present value over 5 years of $71,000 compared to the Toyota RAV4, which has a purchase price of $38,000, but a net present value of $76,000 over the 5 years. So financially, they are a better vehicle for us to buy. And we've been relatively conservative in the forecasts around return on the value of the equipment at the end of the period, because that is the challenge when you're trying to do forward forecasting on electric vehicles at the market. We don't know what the market's going to look like, but what we've done is taken the independent advice from all of the national modelling that's been done in this to substantiate it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So is anybody else wanting to debate the item? Anyone got more questions? If not, I'll go back, Councillor Tudor. Would you like a lot of reply?
Sure.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Some key points to pull out in that, and to me, it actually reaffirms, you know, I think some of those questions are relating to some of the things that have already happened and are already in motion, and I think that is why I brought this motion to the table, is to really dig deep into that and make sure that we know as a council what we're dealing with, so that when we do have, if there is community perception that we need to address, that we've got the information and the data relevant to address it. Addressing the Tesla piece, that was an experience that I went through when purchasing a new vehicle. I just wrote off buying Tesla because I was like, it's going to be an expensive vehicle, but you also consider from brand perspective, you can buy a Toyota Land Cruiser, getting close to $250,000. So brands do change, and I think what we with this motion, what we do forward, is a real opportunity for us to engage and communicate with our community on our findings, on our decision making, and why it does make sense. And also addressing probably one bit that didn't come out in the wash there was availability as well, with some of the financial benefits we get at the moment, one being FBT. Correct my number if I'm wrong, but we're generally around $250,000 annually in FBT pertaining to vehicles. So it's a significant cost for us. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, Tesla vehicle availability is in the matter of weeks, if not a few months at the moment. So there is also that balance of going, the sooner we get into those vehicles, the sooner we get the lower FBT, the sooner we can start getting the value, as you can see in the Appendix 1. I do appreciate those things are there, but it certainly, I think, presents some opportunities for us. And I'm hoping that the conclusion of this and the conversations we have, that strategy, we also strategize how we deliver this to our community and challenge some of those misnomers that present themselves. Yes, the motion.
All right, thank you. So we'll move to the voting. Thank you very much, Councillor Taylor. All those in favour of this motion. Thank you. And that's carried unanimously. I would say it's a really well constructed motion. I think it's very, very easy for people to understand it. So thank you very much for bringing that forward. I'll move on to item 12 on our agenda, which is our officer report. So items 12.1 through 12.2, 12.3 and 12.4 are all decision items for council committee membership and providing member appointments. So I'm going to hand over to the CEO, who is possibly then going to hand over to Bracken.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Yes, thank you.
We have to endorse to go in.
Yes.
All right, sorry, what are you asking to do on this one? I don't have anything here for them. Right, so we'll go. We'll go to 12.1. We'll have a mover and second for this item. So I'm looking for a mover. Thank you, Councillor Daniel. And a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Grant. So anyone wishing to further debate the item? Councillor Thurman, you have your hand up.
Yeah, we're talking about decision one.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Went
one
through four. Yeah. Are you waiting to... No, that's all right. I can
vote on that. Yes. Yeah. Right, yeah. Okay. So we're going to do all of these. I'm going to do them all together. So we'll resolve here. This is 12.1. This is points 1, 2, 3, and 4. So I'm looking for a mover for this. Sorry, I'm getting confused here because I've got something different in front of me to what's up here. So I don't have any of this on the palm. So let me. I'll have to go straight from what's on
the screen. I'm meeting myself on the board. Yeah. Points 1, 3, 4, which would be the general meeting. Along with adopting the terms of reference. So if anyone has any queries about that, now would be the time to see it.
All right, so I've got to remember the fact that anybody wanted to debate the item, though, do you have any queries on that? Do you, Councillor Daniel, want to move, having moved it, do you want to talk to the item?
I don't.
And your seconder, did you want to talk to the item?
No, thank you.
Anybody else?
I've got a question. Why do we need to vote to retain something we adopted on the 14th of February? If there's no change?
I can't answer the question. So, is anyone else able to answer?
Yeah, if I could, Trish, it's just an opportunity to reaffirm because we're about to appoint members to the audit committee, and so we've attached the audit committee terms of reference to the agenda. If there was a desire to change a certain element of it or to pick it up, we do that here.
All right, so we then need to actually now vote on this. Anybody else wanting to discuss the item? Did you wish to have a write a reply there, Councillor Daniel? Okay, so let's just go to vote for the item, please. Thank you. All right, thank you. I'm noting that you didn't there a conflict of interest, but okay, they didn't vote it. So thank you. That's carried unanimously. So now that we are adjourned, now we'll hand over to the CEO.
Okay, thank you to the Mayor, and I will delegate that to the Director of Corporate Services to undertake the process.
Thank you very much, CEO. This is obviously a day I've been looking forward to for a very long time, the opportunity to step into a true governance role. Now, I will not be as good as this as Lachlan was, but so please be patient with me. But he has taught me a couple of things that I'm going to reiterate as well. So the very first step in the process here is to effectively call for. We have two positions available in the committee. We're looking to call for self-nomination from here by show of hands as to whether or not anybody is interested in being on the committee. And we currently have two members that have looked to nominate for the two positions. So thank you. On that basis, we actually don't need to enter into, which was what I was looking forward to. We don't need to enter into a voting process, but we have other opportunities. On that basis, there is actually no need to go back into a voting process. But I think we would normally have given those elected members just a quick opportunity to highlight here and now their interest in the role and why they are, even though, but we're happy to skip that.
I'm just going to give mine for the next
one. Oh, you can do it for the next one. Yes. Yes, sir. We also need to come up with a term of membership for the committee.
We're informal. So that
we're not back into that at the moment.
That can't occur at this stage.
Yeah, correct. So we're now back out of informal and back into council.
Hello, Mike, who has a question? I'm sorry, I really apologise to everyone. It's just that my documents do not say what is better, so I'm trying to sort of rationalise it really hard. Councillor Selwood.
Thank you. I think this is the point at which I need to declare my general conflict of interest. And I intend to leave the chamber for this decision item, even though there's no material conflict of interest. As a junior member of the work committee, I do intend to leave the meeting for transparency and accountability.
Well, thank you for that.
Well, I guess I'll do the same. I'm not sure that I have to err on the side of caution.
So you wish to leave, so you're planning a conflict of interest before one, yeah. You will also be leaving. Are these both, sorry, you're saying you had a material or
general?
And the same for what's my phone? I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have let the others now leave the room, so we can now resolve to appoint the two members or otherwise who wish to be named. So, Councillor Osterholm.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In respect of decision two, I'll move items 1, 2, and 3 on the screen and I'll insert 30 November 2025. A two-year term. And just speaking to that, a 24-month term is not inconsistent with what this council has done. Indeed, it moved a two-year term for appointments to the Boundary Change Committee last November. Councillor Herman and Selwood are very well-versed in matters of audit. I commend the motion to the Chamber for consideration.
Thank you. Let's see if you have a seconder. Thank you. Councillor Grant, would you wish to speak?
I think it's pretty straightforward. I agree with Councillor Osterholm's comments. And I do appreciate Councillor Herman and Selwood leaving the Chamber, just in case we needed a frank discussion, but I think they're both good candidates and I think we should support them.
All right, thank you. So I don't think you need a right of reply. We're going to go straight to the vote and ask all those in favour of this motion. All right, thank you very much. So that's carried unanimously. You can now ask for those to come back into the room. Thank you.
Which one is it?
And yes, the life of a Tesla battery.
We now want to do a presiding member.
We've assumed it. How do we do that? And then we're now in the room. We move the screen now to 12.2. Thank you. We're now looking
at Jane Clary Energy to do any
Yes, I've got this at 12.1. Sorry, I was just thinking what we're doing. Just let's carry on. We're on 12.1. We've got our members. We're now going to get our presiding member.
Yes.
So, so, but in order to appoint this, this is I'm going to have to ask the CEO.
Yeah.
Yeah. So through the mayor, we'll delegate that to the director of corporate services to carry out the process.
Thank you. And if I could, through the CEO, we have adjourned the meeting.
That's what I was.
So now that we are adjourned, I will call from those candidates we have both here with us, as well as the three externals, which have not logged in, I don't believe, and are capable of being the presiding member. So at the moment, there are, I guess I'm calling for interest from our current council members for the position of presiding member. By show of hands.
I wish to self-nominate.
So we have one person self-nominated. So at that point, that is, we may now go back into council. I do believe Councillor Hammond would like to speak before he leaves the room.
Look, I wasn't going to, but I've been a member of the audit committee since 2014 and deciding member since 2018. And also assuring membership of the Royal River Fund Management Authority Audit Committee in 2018. The Audit Committee did a survey of how the committee operates, and the self-assessment of the members of the presiding committee by the members resulted in three members stating I was a very effective leader, one that I was effective, and one neither effective or ineffective. So I believe I have the confidence of the committee. I won't go back to my previous working life.
Sure.
I think that's all I need to say. I don't have to defend my position, but I'll come out of it.
Do we need to in here, though? So we're now looking for to make this resolution, and I assume you're going to do something along the same lines as before.
Yes, Madam Mayor. Through you, Madam Mayor, to appoint Councillor Herman, decision three, to the position of Audit Committee presiding member for a 24-month term. Commencing the 1st of December 23 and concluding on the 30th of November 2025, consistent with Council's previous resolution.
All right, thank you. We'll need a seconder for that, please. Thank you, Councillor Parkin. Are you wishing to speak?
No.
Sorry.
Yes, we're just clarifying it needs to be the 30th of November.
I was just going by the rule. Is mine the same as yours?
All right, so we're just now to actually resolve that, please. So all those in favour of this item? All right, thank you. That's carried unanimously. So we can welcome Councillor Herman back in if someone would like to go and collect him.
get a chance to speak to his appointment.
So congratulations, you have been voted into this position. I'll be very pleased to know.
Thank you. I'll do my best to ensure your confidence in our leadership and the audit committee translates back into the chamber so you can have the utmost confidence that anything that comes by the audit committee, the council, is spot on.
Right, so we're moving on to item 12.2, and Councillor Daniel, you know you're going to be wanting to continue as a member here. Tracy, the declaration of conflict of interest would have been because he has an interest, because he gets paid as the mayor, but he is not in paper.
No.
He would just be a standard member, so there is no. I don't believe you need to make any declaration. Okay, all right, so let's go back. So we're now going to be looking at the CEO, PRP Council members, the independent member and the presiding member appointments. What we're trying to do is to extend the terms of the existing panel so that they carry through until the end of the probation period. So we keep that corporate knowledge there. I think we explained this earlier in our previous meeting so that we stay with a set group and we don't have to start the process again. So that's what this is aiming to do. And we're also aiming to get in. Because of that, we're aiming to get Councillor Daniel to be able to remain on there without being the deputy mayor, as he has declared that he does not wish to carry on doing. All right, so I'm looking for a mover. Thank you. That's Councillor Herman. Is a mover. Do you wish to speak to the item?
In terms of good governance, I think continuity is a very good thing to play regarding.
Thank you. We're looking for a seconder.
Sorry, maybe Councillor Grant might want to consider a conflict with the presiding member and extending his term.
I guess there is finances involved here.
Councillor Daniel may well be right. I think it is. And on that note, I would declare a
material
of interest, and the chamber.
That was a good pickup, Councillor.
I was paying attention.
Okay, thank you. So, Councillor Park, can you wish to second?
Yes, if I could briefly speak to the item, that would be terrific. I also sit on the CEO PRP panel, and we would usually expect to extend that, you know, the first time in 10 years that we've had the new CEO. It just makes sense that the current panel extends through to the end of the probation period. So I can motion. Thank you.
All right, so we have a mover and a seconder. Has anyone got any questions or wants to be made? I'm just going to go straight to the vote. Okay, so we'll all those in favour. All right, thank you very much. Katie, you can sleep and we've been in front of the councillor. Councillor Grant back in.
We're looking to get up to it.
Thank you, Councillor Grant. Okay, so just to let you know, that was an item was resolved positively and the panel will continue. So we move then on to item 12.3. So this is the first item we are.
Could I have a question?
Yes,
could you ask if there's more than one nomination before we go through all the procedure? If there's more than one, I understand it, but if there was only one nomination, there might be another way to do it.
Well, sir, I just want to look here first. I'm looking at 12.3. I've got the deciding number of appointments, but I'm also where's the panel? Where's the rest of the people?
They've been appointed to 2025, Madam Mayor. Mm-hmm.
So only the presiding member was a separate.
Correct.
A separate one. So let's read this. Then we have a retain. All right. So let's see first of all how many candidates we've got. We have a number of interested. Yeah. Sorry, we have Councillor Pascali. You did declare a conflict of interest earlier. Would you like to just say that now, thanks?
Yes. Thank you. Now we're going through you. I'm a resident of Waterford, which is under contention through the Boundary Change Committee. Well, sorry, the subject of Boundary Change Committee. I intend to leave the chamber. I don't have a material conflict of interest, but I think it is important for the community to see, and it is reported that I was not in the chamber and part of this process.
Thank you, Councillor Pascali. Right, so what we're looking for here is to actually retain the committee through the first part of the decision, and also to determine the method of selecting the boundary committee providing member. So let us find out if there is more than one candidate who would like to be considered for this item. Thank you, Councillor Osterstock. Is anybody else wishing to be considered for this position? All right, thank you, Councillor Osterstock. So we can.
Madam Mayor, with respect, at that juncture, I'll declare a material conflict of interest pursuant to Section 75 of the Act.
There's a material conflict.
Correct. There's a financial aspect to this motion, and I'll be vacating the chamber.
I do believe so. We can, if you wish, we can have a break in this so you're able to speak to.
Oh, no,
Madam
Mayor, we've got a lot on the agenda.
Thank you. All right, we'll just let you know. All right, so, Councillor, we have a single candidate, Councillor Osterstock. Will somebody like the move for Councillor Osterstock to be in this position? All right, so we just wait for the words to be going on. So I'm looking for a move in the seconder, but I'm also looking for some times to go in here. I think I saw somebody over here with their hand up.
Thank you. Yes, I would like to move points 1 and 2 as printed, and point number 3 to appoint Councillor Mark Osterstock to the position of Boundary Change Committee presiding member for a 12-month term to commence 30 November 2023 and conclude on 30 November 2024.
Right, thank you. So that's moved, Councillor Selwood. You can.
The reason I put a 12-month term in there is partially because Councillor Mudge, who is on that committee, is not here, and I'm able to stand up if he had wished to. And I think it's worthwhile for us to consider this in another 12 months, given that this is a very shifting landscape, and that there may be potential for this to be in a very different position in 12 months' time. So I think it makes sense for us to reconsider it in 12 months.
All right, thank you. So that's what you've moved. So let's see if we have a seconder. Councillor Grant, are you happy just a second? You wish to speak to the
audience? I just want to ask a question, perhaps Councillor Selwood, as a putter of the motion, will consider. Should point 2 read along the lines of to retain the Boundary Change Committee for the term of council, or
resolution
until the boundary dispute with town and town council be resolved, whichever is the something along those lines. I've run out of words.
Can I ask a question on that?
No, you don't know when it's going to be resolved, but come here.
That's the question for you, Mayor. Is that dealt with in the terms of reference of the committee already? Is that required?
Could be.
There is.
We would have to check that. Sorry, did it happen anymore?
Yes.
So the question is, what is the term that they already want for? So what they're saying is, see, the boundary change committee is responding to the situation with regards to the boundary commission who were maybe considering this item. All members of the committee will be appointed by council for a period of 3 years. Will expire at each period, well, that will be each period, so that is the term of the council. So I think we can leave it as it is. So we've got a report received, and we've got a move, we've got a second, so then I'll form a result, please. That you are happy with Councillor Offaly for the fee on there. We've got Councillor Grant, were you seconding? You said you had a question, that you were seconding as well.
Okay.
So all those in favour,
Sorry, just did the point of clarification, because I think Councillor Selwyn pointed to the blue one. So can I just clarify that the terms of reference state that the committee is basically ends a term of council. Do the terms of reference state what happens if the issue is resolved prior to the term of the council? So just to clarify that, because I think that was Councillor Selwyn's question, and I'm not sure that it was clearly answered. And so then do we need to write that into the two?
If I could, through the chair, I've had just a quick look through the terms of reference. I can't see that clause in there that terminates the committee.
Okay, well, it says the term of council. We're going to 5, so look at 5.2. It tells you that all the members will be appointed for a period of 3 years. But will expire at each period. In other words, 3 years, unless the term of the council expires. Can do that anything. Yeah. So we don't need to change this at this time. We can change it later on, but we don't need to change it at this time. So I've got a move and a second for all those in favour, please. Okay. I'm sorry, you're wanting an amendment?
Yes. I think the President said I would like to insert 24 instead of 12. That is consistent with the appointments, other appointments, 2 year appointments, leave one in terms of the council, at least 1 year left in terms of the council for a review, and then a new person could fit in for one year on the council. My amendment would be 12 or 24. No, the President said the other night, I think that's sort of material.
You've spoken to this, so we are looking for a second amendment for this amendment, 24 months rather than 4. Councillor Huxter, want to speak? All right, so you've got a choice, councillors. Do you want to, if this one fails, you can then, you're back at 12 months. Not sure if you have a question.
Yeah, would it be possible to go
to 18 months? No, we've got, this is an amendment. If you want to put that in, you have to go for
that. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Are we too late to defer this decision for the council on multiple terms?
Yeah, we're halfway through it. We're halfway through it. So we need to actually resolve the amendment we've got in front of us. Well, we've had a mover and a second.
No, that's like asking what mechanisms I have wanting to understand them. So if you think it doesn't help, if I can understand at what point, if that was something I wish to do, I can do that.
Okay, at this point, look, we need to resolve the amendment. Then, Mr. Hill, what would you recommend?
But can I just ask the land table at any point?
All right, so let's look at our legal advice. Do you want to say that so everyone can hear that?
And so having not spoken prior to motion, you can move a formal motion which takes precedence, which needs to be dealt with, that the matter be adjourned off to a later date.
And the only discussion that can happen at that time, if it's seconded and carried, is that we nominate what meeting that is put off to.
Right, so I think in answer to your question, you could actually call proceedings then, form of the legal advice, if you call a formal motion to defer the item, which is to adjourn the item, to do it at the time, which would report the process.
Cool, so can I do a formal motion to adjourn the item?
Can you suggest words that would be suitable for Councillor Cooper?
The 28th.
That would get you enough time. So what you're seeking to do essentially is to broaden the potential membership for the selection. All right, understood. All right, so if you we now have to put in here, we are going to put in a formal motion, which halts what we're doing here, to adjourn the item to the 28th. So does people understand what we're doing at this point? We originally had a 12-month term, then we had a 24-month term of the member. But now we're saying, no, let's hold on for another 2 weeks in order to broaden the potential membership for this position. So now, as a formal motion, so you've moved it, you've got a second sitting next to you, thank you, Councillor Gill. Now we don't have to debate on it, do we? So we just go direct to the voting, don't we? So we're now going to just go direct to the voting. We're going to move in a seconder. If you'd like to broaden this out and make this decision in 2 weeks' time when you have a greater number of people here, is that understood by everyone?
That's the question.
Yes, sure.
When we resume, do we resume back to the same place we left off? So we would be discussing the amendment.
That's what I understand.
Sir, I also have a question. And how does that change Councillor Lunge's ability to nominate or ability to pass that motion?
Because you would still have to vote on the proposed amendment. Then there could be an alternative amendment.
You could have one more, and I get all of the things, because you've understood why you're doing this, you may then choose to go down a different path than you might otherwise have gone to broaden the amendment.
So in 2 weeks' time, we could actually beat the amendment and put another amendment to allow Councillor Lunch to nominate.
Okay. All right, so are people happy they understand what we're trying to do? Okay. So we'll go to the vote and just ask all of those in favour of halting the proceedings at this time just for 2 weeks. So I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, there you go, carried unanimously. All right, thank you very much. That was interesting. We'll very we will finally return for this item in 2 weeks. Thank you all for your patience. Thank you for Councillor Cheetah for following that through. That was very good. Yeah. So we can now please let Councillor Oscar stop that meeting. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh,
okay. All right, thank you. So, Councillor Oscar Stock, let me explain what has happened. Place it like the LGA for the council is doing. People come back in, they have no idea what's happened. What has happened is during the course of doing this item, we've had the proposition and then we've had an amendment. During the course of the amendment, we've actually adjourned the item. The reason being is that the chamber feel that there are other councillors who may wish to put themselves forward for this position. So what we will do is we will then, we've resolved that we will adjourn this item until the 28th of November and next week.
I should have said that I'd spoken to Councillor Mudge and he doesn't want to nominate.
No. Too late.
No, that would spoil everything. So we have now done this.
We're already taking your word for it.
So we have now resolved. So if we'll ask you to be patient and come back on the 28th of November in order to do that. Thank you very much for your understanding. All right, so let's.
I don't necessarily understand.
Well, I didn't, first of all, but it has been explained a little bit, so I'm sure that can happen for you as well. So let's move on to item 12.4. Thank you, Councillor Huxford. You wanted to say something?
Thank you. As council representative on the East West Board, Erin was about a portion, I get no monetary benefit from being on the East West Board, but get a declare a conflict of interest.
All right, so are you going to stay in the room? Are you going to stay and vote, or are you just going to stay in the room? You can't, you have to get out of your seat, but you have to vote if you're staying.
Yes, I know.
Okay, thank you. All right, so now this is one we can just do straight off, isn't it? Mm. So you have your information that the person who is which we're trying to approve is Mr. Fraser Bell, being appointed as the independent chairperson for East Wales. So clearly he's not here to speak for himself, but you have the report in front of you, so I'm looking for a mover and a seconder on this item. Thank you. Councillor Huxford?
I'm fine to move this. I think if I can, I'm probably the only one who can speak to Fraser Bell as the chair of the West Board. He brings a lot of knowledge to the board, and he has said many times over the last 12 months how consistency in the board is paramount to his success. And he has been very encouraging of all board members to stay on as long as they can, just for consistency over the period. So I think to do the same for him would be very wise. So I commend the motion.
All right, thank you. So I'm looking for a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Pascal. Do you wish to speak?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to thank Councillor Huxford for that information, because I felt reading the report, it seemed like it was given. This was the chair, and that we should appoint them. And so it's good to actually have the contact and the feedback. So thank you, Councillor Huxford. Councillor, and I'm happy to endorse it.
But they do come and present to us during the course of the year, so he's not open completely unknown. All right, so we've got a mover and a seconder. Thank you both for speaking. So is anybody else wishing to debate the item? All right, so let's move. I assume you don't want to move the item, so let's just move to the voting, please. All of those in favour? All right, thank you. So that's carried unanimously. Thank you. All right, so let's now move on to item 12.5. Now, this item is, the author of this item is Mr. MacArthur. Now, Mr. MacArthur, are you there online with us?
Yes, I am. Hopefully you can hear me okay.
Yes, we can. Can everyone hear Mr. MacArthur okay? Yes, we can hear you. So, Mr. MacArthur, is there anything you want to add or to highlight, please, for your policy?
Yeah, I guess just to put this report into context is it's really the end of a journey that we've been on in our emergency management space for a number of years now. We started with the development of our incident operations manual back in 2019. More recently, we completed development of our recovery operations manual. We've also completed development of an emergency management plan and also a council member emergency management handbook. So really the policy before council tonight is the end of that journey and the last of those documents, which has, you know, really completes our emergency management preparedness.
All right, so anyone have any questions of Mr. MacArthur? All right, would somebody like to move something in relation to this? Let me ask first, Mr. Waters, did you want to add anything there? All right, so is anyone willing to move something in relation to the item? Thank you, Councillor Selwood. Are you moving as printed?
I'll just be very brief. I've been involved in developing a number of emergency management policies and plans for a number of organisations in my working life. for smaller organisations than Adelaide Hills Council, but this is a fantastic emergency management policy, and I really commend the administration for the work they've done on this. I think it's an excellent piece of work.
All right, thank you. And somebody else wanted to second, Councillor Boyd.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you so much to John and the team. I think it's a fantastic document, and we're really lucky to be able to hopefully adopt that thing at the end of the report.
Thank you. Is anyone wishing to debate the item any further? All right, I'll take that as you're not needing a reply. All right, so let's vote on the item, please. Emergency management policy, all of those in favour? All right, thank you, Mr. McArthur. That was carried unanimously, I can tell you. And again, thank you for all that work. We are developing a really good reputation in this space. So thank you and all the team who put this one together.
Well, thank you.
I just give them a special thank you for joining us with it has COVID.
Yes, thank you for that. And
thank you.
Well, we understand you're a bit frustrated with the COVID and the results that you were getting. So I hope you're feeling a bit better now.
Yeah, much, much better. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, so let's now move on to the Black Spot Programme. This is now item 12.6. Now, Councillor Gill, are we waiting for Councillor Gill to come back in, or has she just gone out? Okay, you have a good day. All right, so what we're looking for is to be able to execute the deed, which will give us some money, hopefully. This is for the Australian Government Black Spot Programme. So is somebody willing to move something in regard to this item? Thank you. Councillor Graham, are you moving as printed?
Yes, as printed, thank you.
Do you want to speak to the item, the Black Spot Programme?
No.
All right. Is anyone, well, let me ask actually before we move on. Mr. Waters, did you have anything to add to this? This is what area. Okay, so do we have a second up? Thank you, Councillor Cheetah. Do you wish to speak to the item?
No, thanks.
All right, thank you. So let's move to debate. Who would you like to debate? Thank you, Councillor Pascali.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is not a debate, it's a question. We're resubmitting Fox Road and Cutley Creek Road. Do we actually need to do anything to actually make this more successful this time? Or, I mean, this is my first time with Black Spot application, so please excuse my naivety. But I did actually wonder if there's anything we can do to make it more successful.
All right, so let me go to Mr. Waters and ask you just to explain the process. I think it might help. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship, through you. Thank you for the question, Councillor Pascali. Essentially, the way the Black Spot Funding Program works is that the assessors look at black spots that have been determined based on crash history, by and large, and they also look at the benefit-to-cost ratio that can be achieved through the cost of the works required in it. And they evaluate the benefits, including the benefits through reductions in future potential crashes. Essentially, they get ranked in that order. So it's what you can do, and what we would do is just review our assessment and look at the potential benefits again. Sometimes they're a different review at a different time, particularly if there have been further crashes in the 12 months that have passed since the last application. Your benefit-to-cost ratio can go up, obviously, the crash history can go up as well. And that gets a bit closer to the top. Essentially, that's the process we'll go through. But it is a very objective assessment that's made.
Anybody else got a question? All right, does anyone want to debate the item? Or are you happy to move straight? Are you happy to move straight to the vote? All right, thank you. All those in favour of this item, please. All right, okay, thank you. That's carried unanimously. All right, we can now move on to 12.7. Now, Mr. Cracker, is this essentially your area? Did you want to highlight anything or add any more information, or you have any questions on it?
Well, good through the chair, nothing further to add in relation to the council resolutions update and our questions raised prior to the meeting. That's where you want to make questions unanswered.
part of the meeting.
All right, so did anyone have any questions now for Mr. Packett with regard to the item? All right, can I ask then, would somebody please move something? Thank you. Councillor Gill. Thank you. Wanting to speak to the item?
No.
All right, we're looking for a second here for Councillor Gill, please. Thank you. Councillor Parkin. Wanting to speak to the item? So let's assume we don't need a write a reply and we'll go through to the vote. If you're happy with that, Councillor Gill, thank you. So all those in favour of the item, please. All right, thank you very much. Thank you. So that was, that was carried unanimously. All right, so let's move on. We go on to our administrative reports. So we've got no reports, but we can go on to the correspondence. But this has been included for you, for citizen information that's come in that you might not all have got individually. So we've put these on here for you. This is just to receive and note the items. So I'm looking for someone to move. Thank you, Councillor Herman. And a seconder, thank you.
I did have a couple of comments, if I may.
All right, off you go. What's the question?
You'd like to look at page 169 of your agenda, page 10 of the report of the Landscape Board. One of their priorities this year is roadside and priority weed control. If you look at some of our roads, there's heaps of weeds. So the question was, it's $330,000 allocated, and I did ask the question of the director. There's no information yet, so the question now is, can you inform the chamber when you get some advice, we'll take it up to see which roads are going to be treated in the council area.
So who would that go to over here? All right, so thank you, can you move on to the question?
Just an observation, I think. On against, we receive a 0.48% commission on the levy that we collect. I think if the LGA is worth its salt, they should be going into back for us on that. The higher than that, if you pay your bill at the post office, I think, you know, generally, water and motor reds, you know, they get about 5%. So, anyway, I think the LGA will do something about that. Just a general comment. And on the Rock letter, page 190 for the agenda. I just asked the question, what we pay for the exposure review of us, and that was I recall there was some push by some councils, probably the smaller ones, to change the way that the exposure charges out. Everyone pays 40 grand, and the impact on ours is 0.01%, whereas the Oroon council is probably the 2% of the rate. Did anything ever happen?
I think that went up at the AGM.
Yeah.
Because they were some of the smaller ones were saying, you know, hello on Oraru and you're on Kringa, there's a big difference.
Yeah, thank you.
But I think it failed.
Very far.
I can't be 100% sure, but you'll find it on the LGA. Okay, so do you have a second question? Just receiving a note. Thanks, Councillor Brown. Moving seconding. All right, so please, all those in favour of the item. So now we can move on questions without notice. We did have one from Councillor Brown with regard to fabric, and I believe the director and his answer did respond to that. Did you have further questions?
I don't, but would we be able to hear the question in the chamber? Because
and more importantly, the answer. I just think it would be informative for elected members because others might get questions about traffic. Oh, we have it there. So
that's your question and answer, everyone.
Yeah, so everything's there. So essentially, I was asking about traffic, the progress of that, whether we have an opening day, and whether there's a program of events. And of course, it depends on the opening date, which, as you can probably read for yourself, is established at Building 21 as reference to the historical items. Ms. Armstrong might like or not like.
Did you want to add anything? I'm happy with that. Which I can't answer it again.
thank you, through you, Worship. I guess does anybody want me to go over the question and the response if everybody had an opportunity to read that? That will be in the minutes, included in the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But happy to take any follow-up questions. Well, it won't be included in the minutes. Oh, okay. In that case, what I will do is I will email to all of you Councillor Grant's questions and my response so that you've got that for your information, and then happy to take any follow-up questions in relation to that.
All right, thank you. Councillor Sherwood, you had a question.
Yes, it's not related to that one. After the session with the State Planning Commission the other night, and they referenced the 20-year infrastructure plan, I emailed the administration asking whether we could do a submission, even though the submission closing date was yesterday. Could the administration advise whether we're able to make a late submission and what progress has been done on that?
So, CEO, you want to speak with me?
Yes, through the mayor, I will get the director of environment and infrastructure on my behalf. So go ahead.
Yes, through your worship. Thank you, Councillor Sword, for the question and for following this up earlier, late last week. Yes, I did call an infrastructure SA and was successful in getting an extension of time of roughly 2 weeks to take it to the Wednesday following the next council meeting, Tuesday night council meeting, 2 weeks. That went over this chamber to consider a response, a potential response into that review. The review, and I would encourage members to take the time to do the discussion paper because this will be quite a quick turnaround. We've already met with a group of staff who are working on this, and we're aiming to produce a draft by early next week to circulate it to you for consideration and comment and feedback prior to coming to the council meeting the following week for endorsement. I will note it's a large document to look at, a discussion paper I'm talking about. It poses 26 questions around a range of topics from anything to do with livable and well-planned spaces through to a decarbonised sustainable economy and a stronger infrastructure industry. It covers a lot. It's been emphasised to us from infrastructure SA that they're looking for high-level responses that are statewide relevant. It's not the opportunity to say council is looking for a particular small thing to happen in a particular spot, but there are some issues that are of particular relevance, I think, to this council and where we can add particular weight to the review. So we've identified probably 10 to 12 of those 26 questions where we feel we can add weight to the review and it would be worth this council putting the submission. So we're working on that. Sorry, that's a long answer to the question, but it's learning all the course.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Did anyone else have a question about this? All right, okay, we'll move on to item 16 on the agenda, motions without notice. We do have one. This is from Councillor Furman. Now, I'll just let you know on what basis I'm actually accepting this. We'll have gone back to our guiding principles, and I have been looking also under our own policy, our code of practice for meetings, and there is something in there about finances. So I wanted to clarify that what I'm doing here is what Councillor Herman is doing. He's trying to clarify something that came from a matter arising from an item that has been already considered before in quite detail in council, in previous meetings and workshops. And so where a motion without notice is currently now seen as the best way to progress the matter in a timely manner, given that we know there were some questions with regard to if we didn't go ahead at this point, then it could possibly result in a bit of a detriment to the community. So I'm going to ask Councillor Herman to introduce the motion to you. No, it's the way it's been described is a clarification of matters before. So do you want this and this one?
It's not a clarification, it's effectively a rescission motion.
No, I didn't see it that way. So and the directors, well, my understanding was that it was not seen as a rescission. So I asked that it's an all 78. So do you want to
I'll move up on the board. But Mayor, you did mean I'll move that, but you did miss to me. There may have been something about the payment of installments. Is that an issue somewhere?
What have you got up here?
I've got tiny.
Yeah, because what happened was in point one here,
325.
We're looking to offer contribution of, you've written up to 325 as a maximum, right? However, if you say up to, that doesn't give a direction to the director as to exactly how much money you have up to that.
Right.
Well, I'm now getting contrary information, so let's hear the legal advice on this to see if we can do this now or later on. So would you be able to explain that to the chamber?
So only in that if the outcome of the proposed motion is to amend, vary or revoke a previous decision of the council, then that's required under your meeting regulations to be brought by way of a written notice of motion. And that's for so the community is aware the council was revisiting its previous decision, and so elected members have the opportunity to be informed that it's going to be asked to reconsider its previous decision, and so that there might need to be, administration might want to prepare a report to speak to what's been proposed by way of that. So if, and I have just seen this now, if the effect of that, if it was carried, will be to amend, vary or revoke your previous decision, it needs to be brought by way of written notice of motion.
Despite the fact that we've got a bit of an urgency on the time here, and that we had a workshop presentation deputation and discussing the finances in those.
It's because there's been a previous decision of the council. So it could be by way of written notice of motion, and as long as it was notified 7 clear days, you could deal with it at a special council meeting.
Well, all right, so
just before you do, the way it's explained to me was that it clarifies it doesn't add expenditure, it caps expenditure. So therefore, it could be brought forward as a motion without notice. It caps it. The motion that's before the floor is $160,000 minimum. So we could spend $1 million, and that's within the scope of that previous resolution. So this is just a cap. It could be a new motion. Completely. The motion doesn't say to revoke what's happened. It's just putting a limit on it. And that motion putting a limit on it, I would have thought would have been just a motion on
To clarify for Ms. Riddle, what we had before was a motion that said to spend, was it 1 year?
No, less.
$160,000
minimum. Okay. Minimum. So 325 is
above that minimum. So this was an amount that was discussed by the community group, was what they originally asked for. And it was brought down to the 160.
Minimum.
As a minimum. So what Councillor Herman is trying to say, okay, we've already got a minimum in place. Can we clarify that and put a maximum in place as well? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, that's what I'm trying to do.
Does your legal view on that define?
No, so unfortunately the wording, so it's not simply that it's a completely different decision.
Hang on, so we just let
it talks about, I'll read the provision.
best to adjourn, Madam Mayor, until the top table can sort out the procedural issue.
So I can just read this out. So a motion, the effect of which, if carried, would be to revoke or amend a resolution passed. So you are amending it. You're amending it from a minimum of 160 to now amending it to a maximum of 325. And then it says must be brought by way of written notice of motion.
Look, I think on those grounds, we will have to take that advice. But let's hear the questions we've got first. We've got Councillor Parkin and then Councillor Boyd. Councillor Parkin.
Yes, so just a question. I agree. This does feel like a precision, and it does feel like we are actually revisiting the initial motion. Mm-hmm. So I thank you for that advice, because that does feel wise. I'd also like to point out that I did actually mention that it might need a cap when we had the original motion and was told that it didn't, and that could be managed administratively. So I'm again not certain why this is being. My question is why. Anyway, if it's going to be rebrought, then I think that's good. Thank you.
And look, understand, please, all of you, that a lot of this is, we do not have the government's resources at the moment on this council. To be able to try and sort out a lot of these intricacies. So we're doing this on the best practice known amongst everyone here, both the councillors and the staff. So I think, Councillor Boyd, you then have a question.
I'm just wondering whether we could just have a minimum, which we've already voted on, and the maximum. But so we're not changing the...
But that's what Councillor...
We've actually put both in there.
Still an amendment.
Yeah. And we should remember that that was the second amendment. Of that item, and so we can't really put that down that route. So, Councillor Grant, we have a question as well.
Well, more a comment, and I guess the reason that procedural rule is there is I wasn't at that meeting. I haven't had the chance to read the report. I mean, I've got it open now, and it would be a little unfair for me to. I know that in this case it's not a substantial change, but. The reason that the procedural rules are there is because someone in my position can't read the report and really be fully informed and make a decision. I don't know. Go get a cup of tea again.
So I think what we have to do here is we have to reject the motion without motive and ask the Councillor Herman to put it in tomorrow so that we actually have it as soon as
possible. It'll be a waste of time. I'm very disappointed that that information wasn't provided to me.
Well, we don't.
And I was talking with the administration that they said that you'd have to have 7 days' notice. Very disappointed, and very disappointed on behalf of the residents. So, is there another way that we?
Look, I'm equally disappointed. You need to understand, as I've said, we don't have the resources.
I should have been advised earlier.
Well, we can't advise what we don't know, and we don't have sitting by Councillor Van. There's nothing more I can do from that. Councillor Cheever, you had a question?
The question on these possibilities, if Councillor Herman, I know time is conscious, can the motion without notice be, I guess, that time period of when that was submitted start, be as a motion on notice, if a special meeting, so now, Councillor Hemmon should assume he tapped onto our next information briefing
That's
session.
A good question. How does that work?
When was it notified?
Through the mayor, just to clarify, and I know it's a bit disappointing the way that it's panned out, the motion was put to administration 5 days ahead of the meeting.
Which is all
I could get. Yeah, I know that. And we did indicate. To Councillor Herman that we required 7 days, and we did the checks. We checked the regulations, checked if there was a different meeting proceedings for this particular council, but there wasn't. It was clearly that we needed to have 7 days notification, and we didn't meet that time frame. And apologies, we tried to help by putting it in as a motion technically off the floor, but we got legal advice now to say that it can't be received, but by all means, we will register as being received you know, within those 5 days, which would exceed that 7-day minimum required for the next meeting of council.
So the date it was emailed can be taken, as long as it was prior to 5 p.m, can be taken as the date that was received. And if that was 5 days ago, then we only need to run 2 more days.
Correct. Before you can could it make the 22nd workshop not?
Yeah, as a special, if you so desire, absolutely. Yeah.
So you only need 2 or 3 days. If it was 5, so we're at 5 now. So you'd have your 7 or 2 days.
Well, I say I'm disappointed in the process.
Well, I share your disappointment, okay?
The community will be too. Okay. Well, if you reject it,
I don't really have any opportunity. I find out every legal avenue to try and help make this happen. And I thank this for the clarifications that she's given us. All right. So so that motion without notice, so we will look forward to seeing it.
Am I quite clear that the process is in place, the dates, etc., etc.? They can go to a special meeting on Tuesday.
Correct.
A special meeting would have to be called as part of that, and I don't see any objection.
And you only have to give 4 hours notice.
Please. Yeah, I don't see any objection to that. If you just put that to me, we can do that. All right, so everyone, let's go to 17.2, which is reports of members of council. Is there anyone wanting to report anything specific? Maybe they are as well meetings that they went to council to.
Can I speak to all of the things I've got up there already?
Sure.
On the 29th of October, I was a volunteer for the Charleston Emergency and Recovery Response Group Operation Test Load, which was a council-supported event. And what that was is the community-led recovery centre that they've been setting up that will be enacted 24 hours after any major emergency in Charleston was test run. So basically they asked members of the community to come and be recovery people seeking recovery assistance, and they were given little scenario cards by members of council, and then we tested all of our operations, and it was a really fantastic event, and it was actually quite healing for a number of people who've been through the 2019 bushfire. There are a lot of people that used it as an opportunity to talk about those events and how they were feeling all these years later. So it was a fantastic event, and I'm really proud that council was able to support that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And it's just the same community that have been put forward and who've won an award, who've been put forward under the national award, and we'll know the answer to that at the end of this week. So it's very exciting times for them. Is anybody else wanting to mention anything? All right, we can. What about any other external organisations that we might have done? If not, we'll go straight over to the CEO and the CEO, your report, please.
Sure. I've got a couple of items just to report on, just to remind elected members, if they are attending the community group forum on Thursday, to get an RSVP in sooner than later, just to make sure we account for numbers and catering. And of course, just to remind, once again, elected members of our strategic planning session on Saturday. And if you have, I know that one of our councillors expressed some difficulty in accessing some of the documentation and links, and by all means reach out if you're experiencing some difficulties, because there is some pre-work to be carried out before the day. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Anyone got any questions for the CEO? All right, thank you. So now we go on to item 18 on the agenda, which is reports of committees. Okay, so the Council Settlement Panel has met, and we need to receive or note the minutes as received in your agenda. So looking for a mover. Thank you, Councillor Grant, and a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Pascali. All those in favour, please. Thank you, carried unanimously. Audit Committee did not meet. CEO Sports Review Panel did not meet. The Boundary Change Committee did not meet, so we need to move on to item 19. And this is our confidential item. And as soon as we get there, we're going to have to resolve to go into confidence now. You are on the right now. Is Ashley Curtis online? All right, so we'll take them off. Mm-hmm. Then nobody else is here. And can we please add, Tom, I don't know your surname.
Waters.
Okay, so if you could add that on as well. All right, so we need to move into confidence. So I need a mover, please. Thank you, Councillor Hartster. Councillor Cheetah, you're seconding. Thank you. All those in favour, please. All right, thank you. So Tom, would you be kind enough to shut the door, please?
Are we on the supervisor line?
No.
Thank you.